just as a word of encouragement to you, there's still water in the baptistry. If the Spirit moves upon you and says, you know what, you need to be baptized, at the end of this service, we've got everything you need. We've got towels, we've got shirts, we've even got shorts. You don't need a thing. All you need to do is say, that needs to be me in that water there. So, and that offer is a standing offer. So, last week, last week was a tough sermon to preach. And from what I'm hearing, it was a tough sermon to hear. One person, actually more than one person, commented on how tough it was. One of them actually used the word brutal. But beautiful. This person said that, brutal. And so I learned a word a few years back called brutiful. And that's what it was. It was brutiful. It was brutiful. I asked the Lord, I was sharing with our prayer team this morning, and I asked the Lord, Lord, I know that both Sunday morning and Sunday night, the message was pretty tough. It was hard, and I'm worried that our folks are just going to get too discouraged. Can I please have a word of encouragement for them? And I felt that as if the Lord said, yes, I have a word of encouragement for them. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapters 1 and 2. And I thought, I've read Ecclesiastes. I'm not sure that, Lord, maybe you didn't hear me correctly. I wanted encouragement, not a report of discouragement. He said, read it. Read it. So I began to study and I began to read. And I think I have some encouraging words for you today. That was my request of the Lord. You know, if I ever get up here and preach what's on my agenda, Lord forbid that I would ever do that. I always want to preach and teach, first of all, God's Word. And I always want to preach the Word that He lays upon my heart. So, this morning is going to be way different. We're going to cover a large chunk of Scripture. So, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes. Chapters 1 and 2, and I'm going to read the entire two chapters. And I want you to follow along with me. They've got the words for the screens, but if you have your Bible, please open it up. And by the way, if you don't have a copy of God's Word, I've got some I would just love to put in your hands, free of charge. Always, I keep extra Bibles. Okay? You see me after church, I'll put a Bible in your hand. I'll put a Bible in anybody's hand. And if I need more Bibles, I'll go buy more Bibles. That's not a problem. That's right. You can send them to the high school. They've got them up there. Well, I keep them stashed up there too. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Now, how many of you feel encouraged? Then let's keep going. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. Now, as I read these two chapters, I want you to keep in mind that there's a couple themes in here that are recurring themes. That means they're mentioned more than once. They come up again and again. I want you to keep in mind look for those things, and we'll talk about them in just a minute. Verse 4. Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. Verse 5. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and it turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye has enough of seeing. The eye never has enough of seeing. The ear, nor the ear is full of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago, and it was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and explore my wisdom and all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun, and all of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow, and the more knowledge, the more grief. Chapter 2. I said to myself, come, now I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself, and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well. The delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Verse 12. Then I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom and also madness and folly. What more can the king's successor do than what has already been done? I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. The wise have eyes in their heads, while the fool walks in the darkness. But I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I said to myself, the fate of food will overtake me also. Then what do I gain being wise? I said to myself, this too is meaningless. For the wise, like the fool, will not be long remembered. The days have already come when both have been forgotten. Like the fool, the wise too must die. So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and my skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all of my toil, toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving for which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without Him, who can eat or find employment? To the person who pleases Him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, He gives the task of gathering and storing up the wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Now do you feel encouraged? No. Okay, well let me work on it a little bit. While it may not appear encouraging on the onset, stay with me, and I believe that if you employ the principles that we're going to talk about here momentarily, if you apply them to your life today, you will find encouragement. The book of Ecclesiastes can be a depressing book. It was written by King Solomon, who was said to be the wisest, the richest, and the man most envied upon the earth. And you might be asking yourself, why would he be depressed with all of that? Why would he be depressed with all of that? I mean, anything he wanted, he even says it here, anything my heart desired, anything my eyes saw that I wanted, I had. I got it. It was all meaningless. That was his response. It's meaningless. He had everything a person could want, and yet, well, that's a good question to ask. The truth is that he failed to consider all that he had as a blessing. Okay? And now, we might find ourselves in the same situation from time to time. We might not all be rich beyond belief. If you are, I need to talk to you because we need AC in the gym. You may not be rich beyond belief, or you may not have the great wisdom that Solomon had, but we are certainly blessed, and we need to see how we are blessed. Remember when I asked you, before I read all of this, to look for some recurring themes? How many of you noticed something that keeps coming up? Anybody? Okay. Three of you. Okay, good. Good. The first one I want to mention was found especially in chapter 1, and it really begins in about verse 12, but it goes all the way through verse 17 of chapter 2. And it says here, I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden. And he goes on in verse 16, I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of the wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied, are y'all picking up on something? Okay. I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom. But I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. Chapter 2, I said to myself, come now, I will test you, being himself, with pleasure and find out what is good. But it also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. Verse 3, I tried cheering myself with wine. On and on and on he goes. You see what I'm talking about here. He was focused on himself. I, myself, me, my, talking to himself, you. Solomon was focused on himself so much that he lost proper perspective. Now, as always, I try to look to see how I can relate the scripture passage to our circumstances here today. This one's not difficult. Because we are a people who focus on ourselves. We are a people that look to our pleasures. We are a people that look to who has done an injustice against me. We are a people that focus on what I want, oftentimes more than what we need. No matter how good you are, if you look close enough, you'll always find disappointment in yourself. Not only is Solomon looking at all that he had, but all that he has also done. And he states that he finds nothing of lasting value or worthy of remembrance. He says, even all that I've gained and built up, one day is just going to be handed to somebody else. Where's my benefit in that? You see, he was focused on himself. All this stuff that he built up and amassed and the harems and the money and the gold and the silver and the donkeys and the vineyards and the reservoirs and all that stuff that he talked about, it's going to be given to somebody else. So why even bother was his kind of his attitude. Because he wasn't thinking about the people to come. He was only thinking about himself. When you think back over your life, what do you find? Are you like Solomon, finding not much to be satisfactory? When you think back over your life, do you think back and say, well, you know what? I've kind of blown it. I have been a failure more times than I've had success. And if you focus on that, you're going to find yourself much like Solomon. Meaningless. Meaningless. It's worthless. one of the greatest accomplishments you can ever achieve is to make yourself valuable to other people. And I tell people this, that especially for their vocations. Make yourself valuable there. Whatever you need to do, make yourself valuable so that you're not just another run-of-the-mill worker. Make yourself valuable to the company, to the business, whatever it is, so that they need you and you create value for yourself. Okay? One of the greatest accomplishments you could ever achieve is to make yourself valuable to other people. Now, how do you do that? Not by focusing on yourself. I guarantee you that. We need to become a people who pour into the lives of other people. We just witnessed Grayson's baptism here just a few minutes ago. And he is just an example of one that we need to be pouring into. One of many in this church that we need to be pouring into. We need to be building up, teaching, training up. Why? Certainly not for me, for myself, but because those young ones, folks, they're carrying the torch after I leave. Remember Solomon said, well, after I leave, what's the point? Well, after I leave, I want to have built up something that carries on and the Word of God is going forward after I'm done. We all have a responsibility in that. I thought it was so interesting. And I've talked to you about, and this is not a Grayson Morris sermon, but the other day Rebecca sent me or showed me a, or read me a text. I think it went something like this. At 1:30 a.m., he comes into mom and daddy's room wanting to talk about Boaz. I don't wake up at 1:30 in the morning and want to talk about Boaz. Boaz is not really on my radar at 1:30 in the morning. But that's just an example of how training has been going on, and it sticks. We think that those little minds, that we just need to wait on them a while. Oh, no. We need to be pouring in right now. And it's not for us, not about us. It's for them, because they're going to have opportunities. They're going to be able to be put in situations where they can go farther than we've ever gone. And we need to be glad about that. Not jealous, not upset. Not saying, well, if it can't be me, it shouldn't be anybody, because that's focused on our own selves. It is there when we pour into other people that we will find true satisfaction. That's the encouragement. When there is someone, when someone truly says to God, here I am, use me. That's where God works. It may be in your family. It may be in your job. It may be in your social circles. It may be in your church. Whatever it is, allow yourself to be second. There's a catchphrase out there that's kind of this organization called I Am Second. Have you anybody heard of that, I Am Second? And basically it says this, you know, I'm not the most important. I am second. God is first. Okay? And truly, I need to be about third. I need God's first. Other people need to come next. And then me. And truth is, if I take care of God, if I put God first, He's going to take care of me. I don't have to worry about me. Remember, He clothes the birds and makes gives the foxes places to sleep. And He takes care of everything. He'll take care of you too if you put your faith and your trust in Him and lean on Him. You know, we talked about blessings. And we're talking in the evening services, we're talking about the Beatitudes, the blessings, the happiness that comes from God. And the truth is, I began something almost 2 years ago, and I've stopped asking that the Lord would just bless us as a general blanket statement. I stopped asking that. Maybe some of you have picked up on it. I've always now begun to attach a caveat to that. Lord, bless us as you find us faithful to you. I believe it is wrong for me to say, Lord, bless us. Doesn't matter what we do or how we go about doing it, just bless us. I believe that's a wrong prayer to pray. But I believe it is right to say, Lord, as you find us faithful to you, as you find us obedient and honoring you with our lives, then Lord, bless us. And I believe God desires to answer that prayer. Jesus said that we should consider others better than ourselves. Now, the second theme that I kind of picked up, the first one being, you know, we need to not focus on self, we need to focus outwardly. The second theme that I picked up on is this phrase, under the sun. Under the sun. Now, under the sun means all of creation. There's nothing new under the sun. In all of creation, there is nothing new. Even the gold that is dug out of the ground was there when God put it in the ground. Okay, it's nothing new. It's all been, you know, it would be the green slogan of today. There's nothing new. Everything gets recycled, whatever. Life under the sun, according to Solomon, can be boring. It can be short-lived. It can be repetitive. And it can be empty. Life will never, listen to me, life will never be meaningful under the sun until we make contact with the one who is over the sun. Many spend their lives looking to worship the creation without recognizing the Creator. They worship the job. They worship the boat. They worship the spouse. They worship the kids. They worship a home. They worship a church. They worship a friendship. They worship their body. They worship somebody else's body. They worship all different things, but never turn and focus on the Creator of all of those things. Creation does not give us meaning. Everything under the sun was created by God for who? For His pleasure and for His glory. Including you and me, by the way. But He created it for us to enjoy. He created it for us to have dominion over creation. The only thing that can give us meaning is the Creator, God Himself. And if you are searching for meaning, if you're searching for purpose, stop looking to the creation and turn to the Creator. It is only when we take our focus off of us and look to God that we find out how truly blessed we are, and that God wants to use us to be a blessing to other people. Why? For the purpose of bringing them into relationship with Him also, so that they can have the greatest blessing of all, and that is salvation. That's the circle. That's the circle. Pour out. I get this picture that if I will pour out, I think I've given you this illustration before. It's like a pitcher with a pour spout right here. But I have in my mind, and it's going to be hard to describe, but there's a hose connected to the bottom of the pitcher over here with a big funnel on top. And as I'm pouring out, God is pouring in. And guess what? The funnel is overflowing because He pours out much faster than I can pour out. God pours into us so that we can be a blessing to other people. We are truly blessed. We are truly blessed. You know, at the end of winter, those 4 days in January that we celebrate as winter, a lot of people are looking forward to soaking up the sunshine, right? Now, my dad, he struggles now to get outside, but before he fell and broke his hip, he would get outside, and he had a chair outside in the sun, and it sat there, and that was Dad's chair. And he would get himself out there and sit in the sun and just lay back, and he'd take a nap or whatever. Sometimes he'd pull his shirt up so he could get some vitamin D, because my sister's, said, you need vitamin D. So he'd lay there. He came in one day and said, son, does this look red to you? He lifted up his shirt. And I'm not kidding you, it was pinker than the shirt I have on. It was almost red. And I said, Dad, you got some sun. He said, oh, it felt good. Oh, he stays cold all the time. So he likes to soak up the sunshine. Let's look above the warming rays of the sunshine, the S-U-N shine, and let's let the S-O-N shine flow through us and give hope to other people. You can be the light that gives the sunlight to somebody else. But you can't do that when you're focused on you. You can't do that when you're enjoying the sun, saying, oh, this is God made the sun for me, and it's all about me. You know, they've written songs about that. A true hope, not one based on things found in creation under the sun, but in the one who made the sun and the one who has sent his son for us. It's not about you. God wants to use you for somebody else. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ, then yes, that's first and foremost. It is about you. It is about God wanting you to experience His love, to experience His comfort, to experience His purpose and meaning for you. Once you come to that knowledge of Him and you've given yourself to Him, then He says, now I have a tool that I can use because there's somebody else that only this person could touch. And He wants to use you. Are you willing? Are you willing? You have to get the eyes off of you. You have to get the eyes off of you. And the second thing is realize that all that we can see and all that we can experience here on this earth is just a glimpse. Solomon was right. Maybe it is all meaningless because nothing lasts. All the things that we can see and smell and feel and touch, none of it will last forever. Oh, but my friend, the Lord has something for you that will never, ever go away. His love never ends. His love abounds. It multiplies. And His love carries us from all this temporary stuff that we have right now into an eternity that goes on and on and on and on. Let's build stuff up there and things that last. Let's build things up that last, like souls. Let's be a people that sees the important things about the eternal, and that we need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Do we believe that? If we really and truly believe that, and we saw and really understood and knew the blessing of God and what a great and awesome gift that is, how could we not tell everybody we know and see that there is hope? That it is not all meaningless. I'd like to go back and tell Solomon, wake up! There is more. You got to close your eyes to open your eyes. Because when you open your eyes and you look around, all you see is temporary stuff. You need to realize that God's in the eternal business, folks. He's in an eternal business. And He wants to bring us into that eternity. He wants to carry us and give us the greatest blessing of all. That's the encouragement. The encouragement is, if you find yourself in a situation right now that is difficult and is tough, guess what? It's only temporary. Even if it lasts the next 80 years, it's only temporary. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I've been to a retreat several times, and the catchphrase is this: it only gets better. It keeps getting better. It gets better and better, and it does. And the truth is, if we will take our eyes off of us, look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, it will get better and better and better. Because the more we focus on Him, the more He can use us. That is some stuff that brings satisfaction. When I'm able to speak with somebody and lead them to a believing faith in Jesus Christ, that is a satisfaction the devil can never take away. I can always look back. I will look back. I'm going to mark this date down in my journal. This is the date I'm going to remember. And one of these days, I'm going to look back and go, that was the date. That was the date. Is it your date? Can you point to a date and say, you know what? From this day forward, it's no longer about me. I'm not going to focus on me. I'm going to focus on Christ and just see what God can do. I'm curious. I just want to see what God can do. The Bible says that He can do more than I can even imagine. I can imagine some pretty vivid stuff, But I'm curious. Will God really do more than I can imagine? Why don't you give it a shot? Give it a shot. Get your eyes off of ourselves. Let's realize who all things, it's not the Son, S-U-N, it's the Son, S-O-N. Let's put our eyes and our focus on Him and to see what He can do. How many of you are just itching and waiting to see what God wants to do through us as a church? Yeah, I am too. But even above and beyond that, you know what I'm anxious and itching to see? What God wants to do through you as individuals. What God wants to do through me as an individual. The truth is, if we'll combine all that and use that through the church, wow. Wow. Father in heaven, we come before you today. Lord, and I do thank you for an encouraging news out of a very discouraging passage of text. Thank you for the truth, the principles that we can pull out of there and glean from that. And we can learn, Lord, that if we'll take our eyes and our focus off of us, then the blessing that we have is to be a blessing. Not only does it bless us, Lord, it blesses you. I remember, we were made for your glory and for your purpose and for your plan. Oh, Father, may we look to Jesus Christ and say, here am I. Here am I. Use me. Use me. For whatever you desire, I am yours. The truth is, without Jesus, it is all meaningless. We are nothing. And there is nothing worth living for. But Lord, we thank you for Jesus and the work that He did on the cross. The resurrection from the tomb. And Father, I thank you that right now He's seated at your right hand, praying for me, praying for each person in this room. And Father, I pray that as Jesus is praying for me, that I'm praying for His will to be done in my life, and that I would be obedient to that call, whatever it is, in Jesus' name. Amen.